You won't believe it, but it's actually more comfortable. I don't get it in my soup. I don't get it in my food. But you can, when you do mess up, you will get it, amen. It's a blessing to be at my home church, amen. It's a blessing to be at this place. A lot of memories, everything important in my life has happened in this church. You know what a blessing that is. And I can't thank the Lord enough for this church and what it means to me and my wife and even to my mom and dad and family, and what a blessing it's been. And I praise the Lord this morning for just saving my soul. I just want to thank Him for being such a wonderful Savior this morning. I want to thank Him for dying upon that cross for me this morning, because I can't get over that, amen. There has been times I've tried to run from what He's done for me because I don't want to do what He wants me to do. But, you know, I can't get over what He's done for me, amen. I'm glad He saved my soul. I'm glad that He sought me out when nobody else was looking for me, amen. He reached this boy of 10 years old up here in this other building. I could take you to about the spot over there and show you where the Lord Jesus Christ came down and showed me that I was a lost sinner and showed me that I needed Him, amen. And He saved my soul, and I've been saved ever since, amen. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Ruth this morning. The book of Ruth. And Ruth chapter 2 is where we'll be looking at this morning. And one of the things yesterday everybody was talking about, just keep on keeping on. And as we've had some battles as we've been in Portland trying to get a building through. And one thing that keeps coming up is just keep abiding in my field. Keep abiding. Keep staying in my field. And I'm going to give you those handfuls of purpose that you need. I'm going to give you everything you need if you just stay in my field. And when we sometimes as Christians, we don't like to stay in the field. And when we look here in Ruth chapter 2 for a moment, we can start at verse 17 and we'll read through 23 if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. It says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wast thou? Blessed be that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man named with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left of his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean in the field until the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we ask this morning that you'll enable us to get what you have for us out of this world, Lord. Father, we ask that you'll come down, fall upon this place, Lord. The singing's been good. The Spirit is good. Father, nothing's bad about you, Father. We thank you for being such a wonderful Savior this morning. Father, but we need you this morning more than we needed you yesterday. Father, we ask that you'll take your word and enable it to make us leave this place different than what we walked into this place, Lord. May we be closer to you. Lord, may we be in tune with you, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. But as we look here for a moment, you know, Ruth has been gleaming in the field of Boaz, and there she got more grain than she bargained for. You know, isn't it a blessing that we thought when we got saved that all we were going to get is eternal life? But we got so much more than eternal life. Amen. We got more than we could ever imagine when He saved our souls. And when we think about this and we look at this, it's amazing how the Lord just works things out. Amen. He puts her in the field of Boaz, and He's working things out for her so that she leaves this field with more than enough grain. She had more. She was just trying to get enough to feed them that night. But the Lord gave her more than a week's worth. Amen. And, you know, we were just trying to get a little comfort. When we got saved, we were just trying to get a little comfort. And He's gave us comfort that's going to last an eternity. Amen. And when we think about this morning and we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing we need to understand is what the Lord wants for us, just like Boaz wanted for Ruth. He wants us to abide in the field. And when you think about this, Ruth is invited to abide. Look at verse 21 for a moment. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also that thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest." You know, the first thing you look here, you see it was a personal invitation. He said, He said unto me, Boaz is interested in Ruth for more than just Ruth, but interested in her for an individual. You know, I serve a personal God this morning, amen. Yes, He's interested in your soul, but what gets me excited is He was interested in me. You know, just this little snotty-nosed boy from Hanson, Kentucky. And some of you say, well, where's that at? Well, you're standing in it, amen. But when I think about that for a moment, we see here what it was. And it was a personal invitation. And Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. He is interested in a personal relationship with you this morning if you do not have that. I'll tell you this, that'll be the best relationship that you'll ever have, is the one with Jesus Christ. We know if we call upon His name that He'll save us. What a powerful thing that is. Amen. He is saved, and there is something to be saved from. I've witnessed to people and they say, well, what am I going to be saved from? If you don't know what you're being saved from, God is not convicting you. Amen. And folks, it takes conviction and it takes repentance to establish this relationship with Jesus Christ. But it was also a precise invitation. It was for her to abide in the field. He left no question what was expected of Ruth. Just like He's left no question what is expected of us. He expects us to abide in His field. There was no question. You know, when we think about this for a moment, you can go with me to John chapter 15. We know these verses. But flip over with me to John chapter 15 for a moment in verse 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me." I also go to verse chapter 15. We're there, but go verses 15 and 16. It says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chose me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." Now, when you look at these three verses here, first thing, He says we have to abide in Him. And He says for us to receive what He has for us, we've got to be beside Him. We have to be in Him. In other words, we have to be attached to Him to get any fruit from Him. And it's very important today that we get attached to Him, because this is a precise invitation. He said, "Abide with me." You know, when you think about that, one that feeds off of our relationship, you know, we need to feed off of our relationship with Him. And you know, have you ever met people that just drain the life out of you? If you pastored, you have. You see them coming. You see them coming in the grocery store, and you go get in the frozen food section to get away from them. I mean, you rake the ice cream out and shut the door. You know. But that's not what I'm talking about here. He's saying we've got to draw from Jesus Christ. We've got to draw from our Lord. For us to be stronger, for us to remain, because folks, it's hard. There's people out there against you. And guess what? It's not getting any easier for us saying that we are a Christian. It's not any easier for us. And a lot of people say they're a Christian. Let's take that back. It's harder for us if we say that we're born again and that we're saved and that we're going to live our life pleasing unto Him. People do not like you anymore. And when we look at this, He's calling for us to abide. What an invitation it was given to us. We can flip over to Psalms 42. When we go to Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2 for just a moment, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God." Can you say today that your soul thirsts for God? It says, "For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God?" Folks, we're lacking a thirst for God today. You know, to abide and to stay in His field this morning, we have to have a thirst for Him. We have to have a need for Him. We have to have a hunger down in our soul. Amen. And when we look and we think about it, He's just inviting her to stay in the field. He's inviting you this morning to stay in the field. A lot of times we choose other fields. We choose the field of career. We choose the field of family. We choose the field. You name the field. We choose the field. We make a choice, a conscious choice, to stay with the Lord. It was a promising invitation here. He says, "Until they have ended all my harvest." Folks, He didn't say He was just going to take care of us for a day. He didn't say He was just going to take care of us for a little while. He basically said to us He was going to take care of us for eternity. He says that we need to abide with Him, amen. As I'm talking about this Savior that loved me so much that He gave me eternal life this morning, He said that He would never leave me or forsake me. He said that my sins was gone as far as the east is from the west. And oh, what a Savior that I have this morning, because He's an almighty God. But all He wants from me is He wants my fellowship. That's all He wants. That's all He wants from you, brother. That's all He wants from you. He wants us to abide in the presence of Him and stay in His field. And all we think this morning as we look, we see here it was a promising invitation. Oh, it says, "Until they ended." I'm glad that it's not going to end in eternity. Amen. Boaz wanted Ruth to know that she was invited to glean the fields until they all had been gathered. You know, we're supposed to glean and we're supposed to abide with Him until He catches us out. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, He cannot lie, as the Word of God says, and He's coming to get us. Amen. Oh, what a Savior that I have. What an invitation we have this morning. Oh, I think, and why He promised us He would never cast us away over there in John 6 and 37. I'm glad I'm in a town that's full of General Baptists, and they don't know if they've got it. They don't know if they've lost it. But I'll tell you what, I've got it. Amen. It's a no-soul salvation this morning. The invitation I got was complete. Oh, when we think and we look at what God is doing here, Ruth was invited to abide. But Ruth also is instructed to abide. You know, let's think about this for a moment. Think about the characteristics of the field for a moment. You know, He says in verse 17, it says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." This is what I take from that. It was good. It was good. It was a proven field. It was a field that had grown grain before. Oh, our Savior is a proven Savior. Amen. Our Savior is a loving Savior. When you think about it, it was a field that was productive. You look at chapter 2 and verse 21, it said, "And Ruth and the Moabitess said, He said unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." He's basically telling her, Boaz is telling Ruth, he said, "Hey, you can stay because there's going to be a harvest." It's a promising field. It's productive. And when we think the quality of the field, there's nothing better than Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, some people think other things are better, but there's nothing better than Jesus. You think of someone else that would die upon a cross for you. You think of someone else that prayed before you were even in existence. Oh, what a Savior that we have. And we see here and we look here, Jesus expects us to abide in His field. And the best thing we need to understand, staying with Him will produce the fruit in His image. You know, folks, one of the problems that we have today with Christians is they think that they have fruit. They think they've bared fruit, but the problem is their fruit does not bear the image of Christ. Now you go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son,
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, you think about that for a moment. It says he did foreknown. He also did predestinate to conform to the image. We're supposed to conform to the image of God. You know, it does matter what field we're in. You know, I remember growing up and we had an old septic tank. And that old septic tank we had out behind the house, you know, the grass was always greener over the septic tank. Amen. And if you ever noticed a bunch of old cows, they always eat the grass on the other side of the fence. They put their heads through the fence. It's always great, always greener. And you know, I was thinking about this for a moment. A lot of times we go to other fields, we get into some fields that are away from God, the fields of sin, and they look greener to us. But the problem is we don't really understand. Now think about this. Keep that septic tank in your mind. We really don't understand sometimes what the grass is growing out of. And I guarantee you, it's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. You know, we think about that. But folks, we do that. He says we're supposed to be in His image. You know, is your fruit truly fruit? If it is, it's going to be in His image. If it is, it's going to have the fruit of the Spirit with it. It's not going to be full of flesh. And that message that was preached yesterday morning on the flesh, he about beat me to death with that one. But I needed it, amen. Oh, down at Camp Canaan, I've got a flesh man. I named him. He's Bubba Jean. He's a 400-pound, barefooted redneck that packs a baseball bat. Some of you laugh. You got one too. And I'm in a constant fight with him. I'm in a constant fight, folks, as staying in the ministry. I'm in a constant fight because things are discouraging. Things are depressing. It's a constant fight to stay in the right field. If you're not fighting and you're not striving to stay in the right field, you're probably not in the right field. It's a battle to serve the Lord. It's good to serve the Lord. But folks, it does not come easy. These people say, well, if you serve them, you'll have a new Cadillac. If you serve them, you're going to have a pocket full of money. I'll tell you this, you can think that's true, but folks, it's a lie. He promised us persecution and we haven't seen nothing yet. It's coming. It's coming. I made a lady mad at church the other day because I said that we weren't in the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation yet. We're seeing a bunch of precursing things that are gearing them up for it. But folks, I'm not going to be here. And when we look here, we see here he wants us to stay in the field until he comes back and gets us. And it was a proven field. It was a productive field. It was a promising field. But we also see the completeness of the field. You know, when we look here in verse 22 for a moment, in Ruth it said, "And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee and not in any other field." The completeness. Ruth found more than just food in this field. Folks, we find more in our field of faith, in our field of grace, than just food. We find peace. We find safety. We find security. We find hope. We find refreshment. There is time that the only thing that can get me back on my feet is this blessed old book. There is times that the only thing that will work is me getting on my knees. There is times in your life that's the only thing that will work for you. But we see there's hope. There's also in this field, there's promise, there's goodness, there's kindness, and there's blessings in this field. All that sounds good, but sometimes we sure do want to leave it. And here Ruth, as she's in this field, and we see the completeness of this field. You know, it's not the quantity of the field, how many fields, it was the quality of the field. Just like Brother Benny touched on yesterday, it's the quality. It's the quality, and there's nothing that has more quality than this inspired Word of God. And when we look and we think about the completeness of that, you know, He wants us to come to the place is where Jesus is all we have. And folks, that is a hard place to come to. It's a hard place when everybody around you is against you, and all you can do is look up and cry unto Him, because our flesh wants to fight that. But He wants us to get to a place that we're totally abiding in Him. Oh, I don't have that T-shirt yet. Oh, preacher, I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. You know, it's easy for us to trust Him for our salvation. But when we start trusting Him to deal with these wicked reprobates in city, never mind, we won't get there, in the city, and we're trying to deal with other people, you know, it's hard. Because our old flesh wants to shake them. And the Lord says, hey, just abide on Me. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. And I'll tell my wife on Monday, oh, I'm abiding today. I've got it. God's going to take care of it. 15 minutes later, what do you think He's going to do? Now, you're laughing with me, I understand. But it's the truth. And we look at this field here, you know, the company. And here's something that we need to understand. The company of this field. When Ruth was gleaning in this field, Boaz had a precious relationship with the men of the field. She had a relationship with the men of the field. She had a relationship with the maidens of the field. And folks, in his field is where we build our relationship. And there are men in this room that I really covet their prayers today, because I have built a relationship with them in this field of grace, because we're abiding in the same field. We're not in a different field this morning. You know, when we look and we think about that, them relationships should be close to you. Now, when we learn to abide in the Lord's field, we are privileged to enter into some great relationships that He only gives to us. And what a relationship these things are. Our fellowship together is precious. We are a body. You know, we know that it says over in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, but we are part of that fellowship. You know, in 1 John for a moment, in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I don't know about you, but when my fellowship's not right with the Father and my fellowship's not right with the Son, guess what? My joy is not full. And here it says that we will be full. It's a close relationship that we build here. It's a permanent relationship. He is the only true God. He is the only way. Folks, it's not Allah. It's not Islam. It's not the new religion. It's not Buddha. It's not none of these things. And guess what? I'm going to go one step farther. It's not Pentecostalism. It's not Charismaticism. I don't even think that's an ism, but anyway. But what it is, it's Jesus Christ and it's true salvation. And we look and we see this here. You know, Ruth is inclined to abide. You think about Ruth for a moment in verse 23. It says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You know, Ruth is inclined to abide here. Her work was continual. Ruth entered the field every day and gleaned the harvest until ended. Folks, our work is continuous. We've got to keep on going. Now, when we think about this, this is what Jesus expects of His people. He wants us to glean in His field faithfully every day. He wants you. And we're a bunch of preachers, so listen. He wants you to get up every morning and pray. He wants you to get up every morning and read your Bible. He wants you to get up every morning and do the things that He's called you to do and tell others about Him. That's what He expects of us. He expects us to continue His work. He quickened us. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. And He made us alive. And He didn't make us alive to just sit somewhere and take up oxygen. He made us alive where we could go forth and finish the work. He left the work unto us. And sometimes we're very slothful with the work. Oh, when we think about that for a moment, we see that she continued in the work. She was faithful. Her work was a completed work. She was steadfast and dedicated to the work. And when you think about it, the Lord wants us to finish. One of the hardest problems I've ever had is finishing something. I can start anything, but it's finishing it is my problem. And I don't know about you, do you have a problem finishing? You know, it's the finishing, and I do. I really want to finish at Faith Promise Baptist Church. I want to finish what God has for me there. I want to see them people get in the building. I want to see more souls get saved. I want to see those that are against us get saved. Amen. And when we look and we think about that, it's a completed work. And some of you have been in your fields longer than me. And folks, just stay in your field. Complete the work. Do what God's called us to do. And yes, it gets tiring. And yes, it gets discouraging. And yes, it's depressing. But I'll tell you this, it's good to be in His field. If you're in His field, if you're in His field, He's going to give you a handful of purpose. He's going to give you what you need to get a little bit farther. And when you think you can go no farther, guess what? He gives you a little bit more grace to go a little bit farther. And sometimes it feels like all I'm living on is grace. But I praise the Lord for the grace that He's given me. Amen. I praise the Lord that He saved my soul. But what about the grace that He gives me every day and everything He allows me to enjoy? Oh, what a wonderful Savior that I have. Oh, I think about that this morning, and I see here that it was a consecrated work. This verse tells us that she dwelt with her mother-in-law. You say, well, what's important about that? Think about her for a moment. She was a young maiden. She was beautiful. She was fair to look upon. She had many opportunities. She could have left her mother-in-law, but she stayed faithful there. And we see here in this field, when you think about this, you know, still she walked in the integrity and maintained purity. Folks, we need to maintain our integrity and our purity as Christians this morning. We need to be consecrated unto the things of God this morning. Oh, with the preaching that we've heard. Oh, it's been good. But folks, but if you take that preaching that we've heard today and when you walk out these doors and do nothing with it, it hasn't done you no good. Consecrate to it means you commit to it. And when you commit to something, and this is the problem that most of us have, is submitting to it. You can commit all day long, but if you never submit, nothing takes place. And we have to come to that place that we submit unto what God has for us here. You know, here she willingly submitted herself to the field and the future. And she submitted herself to her family, and she submitted herself to her new faith. And you know, in doing so, when we think about this for a moment, as she was doing this, you know, we need to understand we are to glean and to be faithful and to commit ourselves to the faith. And we need to remember something, preachers, for a moment. And I've had to learn this. Satan's been attacking us, me and my wife, on every facet, attacking the church, attacking church members, attacking me and her. And I'll tell you something that I have learned. The first institution that God intimated was the family. And your family's important this morning. And you need to get to the place that if you're going to consecrate that field that you need to put in the place, you need to make sure that your ministry has a place for your family. You know, the family happened before the church. You know, when we look and we think about it, and it's important, because I'll tell you, when you're fighting, and we've been fighting, and when you're fighting a battle, nothing's off limits to Satan. He goes after the marriage relationship. He goes after the church. He goes after your mind. He goes after everything that you touch. But if you're not abiding in that field, you're not going to last. And here she consecrated to that field. You know, I think about this here. I want to live my life where it's pleasing before God. You know, don't take this wrong. I have a lot of respect for my father. I love my dad. But I'm not living my life to please Earl Day. I'm not living my life to please Brother Richardson. I've got to live my life to please the Lord. You've got to live your life to please the Lord. You know, when we think about this, and I'm going to close with this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is we have to abide in His field, and this is what He wants from us. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, Ruth committed herself into staying in the field of Boaz. She did not wander from field to field. She stayed right where she was supposed to be. She settled down and worked the field of grace. Folks, a lot of times what Christians have a problem with is settling down where God has put them and working the field that He's put them in. Folks, there are such blessings abiding in His field of grace. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for this Word that You've given us this morning, Lord. We thank You for the liberty that You've given. Lord, I ask that You'll work on our hearts, work on our minds, Lord. And Father, be with the next preacher, Lord. Be with whoever stands behind this pulpit, Father, Lord, that it'll magnify You, Lord, and that we'll worship You, Father. We thank You for all that You're doing in Your holy name. Amen.